This is Africa News Tonight on the Voice of America.
Good evening and welcome. Welcome to Africa News Tonight from the English to Africa service of the Voice of America, your source for Pan-African news and world developments. I'm Yehiye Suhib in Washington. Coming up on Africa News Tonight.
It is not the government of National Accord which is defending Tripoli. It is about the militias from Tripoli who are de facto controlling the government.
That's Wolfgang Putzai, a policy and security analyst at the National Council of U.S.-Libya Relations. Details coming up also. In Sudan, a new 10-member ruling council says a proposed transitional government could last less than 2 years, and the council is currently negotiating with protesters. The Algerian capital is under heavy security, not seen since the beginning of the popular movement. And this week marks the fifth year since Boko Haram militants kidnapped hundreds of Nigerian schoolgirls from the village of Chibok. We'll have these stories and lots more ahead on Africa News Tonight. Our top story: in Sudan, a new 10-member ruling council says a transitional government could last less than 2 years and that it is negotiating with protesters. The transitional military council says it is willing to oversee a shorter change of power than it first announced if chaos can be avoided. After weeks of protests, the military ousted longtime ruler Omar al-Bashir but has failed to end demonstrations in the streets. Sudanese television has shown the deputy leader of the TMC meeting with representatives from China, Britain, and the Netherlands. TMC leader Abdel Fattah al-Burhan was shown meeting with a member of the Chinese delegation, while the deputy leader was shown with the British and Dutch ambassadors. Meanwhile, the African Union's Peace and Security Council has urged the army to transfer power to a civilian government within 2 weeks or face suspension of the country's membership in the regional group. In a statement, the council said it deplored the suspension of Sudan's constitution and the arrest of former President Bashir. Sudan has been a member of the African Union since 1963. Reports say the TMC is negotiating with protesters on a transitional cabinet. The military leaders proposed a 2-year transition period that could lead to elections. However, protesters have rejected the military's offer and are demanding change now. To learn more about what is happening in Khartoum, my colleague Mario Ritter spoke with reporter Naba Mohadine in Khartoum.
What are the latest developments in talks between the military council and the protesters?
The military council and the protesters are represented by two entities, SPA, Sudanese Professional Association, and Consensus Powers, which is a opposition party that signed the Declaration of Freedom and Change. SPA right now will negotiate with military council after they refuse. Opposition parties refuse totally to negotiate with the military council as they demand an urgent transfer of power to civilian government. So there is no improvement yet.
The protesters are refusing to negotiate with the military council?
Yes, protesters are refusing to clear the sit-in as they need proof that the military council will really involve officials on trial. They need proof that the coup is real. They need proof that they will have their revolution demands. But the entities that negotiating on behalf of protesters, if SPA will negotiate with the military council, and Consensus Powers, they said there is no negotiation, we just want an urgent transfer of power. There is no trust between all parties.
Now, the protesters want a civilian government.
Yes, protesters, they want a civilian government, and they also want to put officials and involved officials on trial, people who killed the protesters and people who made any crimes against Sudanese people. They want urgent trials. They want proof that al-Bashir and all NCP members are in jail. They want to see it. They just can't can't trust any military council because this scenario was made 30 years before.
So civilian prime ministers, these are among the demands?
Yes. No, they demanded at 100% civilian government. But the council told them that there is some ministers they can't give it to civilians as the situation is it's not stable security-wise and economically it's very bad. So they told them to choose prime minister for this stage and maybe negotiations will result in other demands.
What are the conditions? You said conditions are not stable. What are the security conditions? What are the services conditions? What are prices like in Khartoum at this time?
Our prices in Khartoum is stable, but there is no improvement in economy. And still, the crisis, the shortages in fuel and bread are seen in Khartoum streets. So there is no improvement, but security conditions is not good. Security service is still has power, and military council didn't restrict it or didn't dissolve it or didn't make the dissolution that protesters need. Protesters also demanded the dissolution of militias and for of security service and dissolution of any institution belongs to al-Bashir. This is very, very important demand to protesters.
That was my colleague Mario Ritter speaking with reporter Naba Mohadin in Khartoum. In the span of 3 days, Sudan's military council saw a change in top leadership as well as the arrest of former government officials who served under the Bashir regime. Nuh Hazin, a Texas-based spokesperson for the Sudanese Professionals Association, which has helped organize the protesters, says the military council's move over the weekend to arrest former government officials is welcome, but they have a list of demands that have not yet been realized. She spoke with my colleague, Ayan Deng Bior.
This is one of our demands, you know. We are at the SBA, and Declaration of Freedom and Change Forces. We gave already like 4 or 5 days ago a mandate to the Sudanese Armed Forces. And from that time, there was a recall from Abna Auf and for 30 hours, if you know, and then this new military council by General Burhan. And 2 days ago, the Declaration of Change and Freedom Forces, they sent a committee to meet him and provide, submit our demands. Our main demand is we want to transfer the power to civilian transitional government. And then to arrest all these old regime symbols, you know, from the president and his vice president and the old people in the past regime that were committed crimes and injustice action against Sudanese people.
Well, the military council also announced that they would remove protesters from the sit-in by force.
No, that cannot be done. You know, we are at this change and freedom forces. We continue in our sitting. We have two parallel lines. We continue our protesting in the sitting, and even we have lots of programs and activities done there since April 6th. And at the same time with this line, we have a parallel line, which is continuing our general and political work or line with the military council to achieve our demands.
And now, what is left for the Sudanese Professionals Association? I've spoken to a number of people who say there's still a lot of work ahead.
Our goals and demands are very clear, you know, from the beginning to bring this regime down. So instead of resigning al-Bashir or two or three of his colleagues, this is not our entire demand. So our entire demand should be achieved, you know, by bringing down the whole regime, not only two or three members, including al-Bashir of them. And the second demand that was not achieved till now, and that's why it is left, that to transfer or to hand over the power to a transitional civilian government, not by military council, like what's happening for the last 48 hours. So we gave a mandate to the Sudanese armed forces to take the power from al-Bashir regime and to hand over this power to a transitional civilian government that will take this power for 4 years and then to be like elective government by the end of the 4 years. This was the plan. But now the military council is not a plan to continue for 1 year.
That was Nuha Zin, a Texas-based spokesperson for the Sudanese Professional Association, speaking to Ayan Deng Bior from Houston, Texas. You're listening to African News Tonight, live on the following frequencies, 15580 and 6080 kilohertz on the Voice of America. I'm Yehiye Swuhib in Washington. Sixteen past the hour, here's a recap of our top stories. In Sudan, a new 10-member ruling council says a transitional government could last less than 2 years and that it is negotiating with protesters. Meanwhile, the African Union's Peace and Security Council has urged the army to transfer power to a civilian government within 2 weeks or face suspension of the country's membership in the regional group. And for more news and information, visit our website at voaafrica.com. Khalifa Haftar's self-proclaimed Libyan National Army advanced to the outskirts of Tripoli almost 2 weeks ago, predicting victory within 2 days. However, the internationally recognized governor of Prime Minister Fayez al-Sarraj has bogged them down in the southern suburbs, using militias from a various Western faction who have rushed to defend the capital. Diplomats believe that for now, Haftar will face no pressure from backers, including the United Arab Emirates, Egypt, and France, who still see him as the best bet to end the chaos and divisions since Muammar Gaddafi was ousted in 2011. U.S. Envoy to Libya, Ghassan Salami, says Haftar tried to stage a coup by issuing an arrest warrant for Prime Minister Fayez al-Sarraj. Wolfgang Pustai, a policy and security analyst at the National Council on U.S.-Libya Relations, spoke to VOA senior analyst Mohammed al-Shanawi about the conflict and its consequences.
It is not the government of national accord which is defending Tripoli. It is about the militias from Tripoli who are de facto controlling the government. Those groups are supported by various other radical Islamist groups. There are groups close to Al-Qaeda, like the Al-Faruq Brigade, groups close to Ansar al-Sharia and others. It's important to state that the GNA is not in charge on the Tripoli side. So not they managed to stop the offensive by Haftar, but it is about the militias mainly from Tripoli and Misrata. But if Haftar succeeds, and I'm not sure that he will succeed, actually currently the situation is a little bit a stalemate, the landscape in Libya could be much more simple than it is right now. If this prepares the ground for a political solution, which would be still necessary, needs to be seen. There is a good chance that Haftar is aiming for some kind of military dictatorship, but it's difficult to answer this question because for the time being he did not make any statements about his intentions.
But diplomats believe Haftar, for now, will face no pressure from backers, including the United Arab Emirates, Egypt and France, who still see him as the best bet to end the chaos and divisions since the ousting of Gaddafi in 2011. Do you share this assessment?
Actually, it's all about interests, and Haftar serves the interests. With regard to the United Arab Emirates, they are after containing politically Islam and the Muslim Brotherhood. Haftar serves these interests. For Egypt, it's about denying terrorists a safe haven on the Egyptian western border. Haftar serves these interests. For France, it is about fighting terrorism, which is a deadly threat to the French national interests in the whole Sahara region. The GNA is no partner, as it has no influence in fighting on terrorism in Libya. And this is the reason why those three nations still support Haftar more or less openly.
UN envoy to Libya Ghassan Salami said Eastern Libyan commander Khalifa Haftar tried to stage a military coup by issuing an arrest warrant for Prime Minister Fayez al-Sarraj. What are the consequences of Haftar's military move?
Is it really a coup? The Shkirat Agreement, which was signed in December 2015, has not been endorsed by the House of Representatives as it is foreseen in this agreement. So it can be debated if the GNA is really the Libyan government by Libyan laws. If one says, yes, it is, then it was a coup. If it is not the government by Libyan laws, then it was not a coup. The consequences for Haftar will be decided on the battlefield. As I said before, it is quite unlikely that Haftar will be stopped by any kind of international intervention. The UN peace plan doesn't work. And with regard to an international intervention, who should be defended? The LNA attacking Tripoli? Probably not. The militants ruling Tripoli and robbing hundreds of millions of US dollars every year from the state? Do you really want to support this kind of guys? Or the GNA, which is not a real government? And it probably never ever will be. From my point, it would be necessary to get to a ceasefire and to find an entirely new approach for stabilizing Libya. It is necessary, from my point of view, to find something like an interim framework to stabilize the country. Let's be honest, it is an illusion to stabilize Libya with one government. I think it would be necessary to have a weak central government, which has more or less just a role to distribute the oil revenues based on a specific plan which needs to be included in the constitution. And below this central government, it is necessary to give the provinces, the free historic provinces of Libya, the powers to stabilize themselves. If after 5 or 10 years the free provinces are reasonably stable, they can decide, do you want to stay together or do you want to separate? Do you want to have some kind of autonomy? It's up to them. But for the time being, any kind of powerful central government simply won't work. Not Haftar, not Sarraj, not anyone else.
That was Wolfgang Postei, a policy and security analyst at the National Council on U.S.-Libya Relations. He spoke to VOA senior analyst Mohammed El-Shenawi. The Algerian capital is under the type of heavy security not been seen since the beginning of the popular movement. It appears to be an effort by the government to break the popular movement and prevent marches against the Speaker of the Parliament serving as president for 90 days. William Lawrence, professor of international relations at George Washington University, spoke to VOA senior analyst Mohammed El-Shenawi about the possible scenarios given that there is no political leadership for the protesters who face the challenge of unseating a deep state in power for many decades.
Well, it's very important development. There have been previous security deployments since February 22nd, but not as significant as this one. Definitely there's some signaling going on to the crowd. Certainly last Friday's protests were more violent than previous ones on both sides, both the protester side and the regime side. And the regime is signaling to the crowd and to the international community that it's not going to make further concessions. So this is a very significant development. We've seen new types of arrests, new types of humiliation of protesters, and an increasingly strong tone among Algerian leaders about unwillingness to concede. However, the Algerian regime has conceded 4 times now since the beginning of the protests, and the protesters are going to anticipate further concessions because they see the person, the strongman now in charge in Algeria, Gaid Salah, as part of the problem and not part of the solution. So things are going to get worse before they get better.
Algerian Chief of Staff Ahmed Qaid Saleh described protesters' demands as impossible to meet and said the solution that will be imposed is preparing for elections after the 90-day transition period. What are the possible scenarios in Algeria, given that there is no political leadership for the protesters and a deep state in power for many decades?
Certainly, one possible scenario is that the regime follows the constitution despite the protesters, and that will lead to greater contestation and certainly dissatisfied popular movement that will grow in strength. Another scenario is that further concessions are made, which is what the crowd wants, to write a new constitution, put together a new elections body, and then hold elections for parliament in about a year. I think the main issue here is that the army wants to follow the current constitution and the current voter rolls, and the crowd rejects the current constitution and the current voter rolls, in which they claim there are millions of dead Algerians and Algerians who could not have voted for decades, what they call zombie voters, who used to vote for what they called the zombie president. And so this standoff has become more stark. And as you say, there's really no leadership on the protester side that's having a conversation with the regime. And the regime is still operating as it did under Bouteflika by declarations rather than by negotiations. So there's much that needs to happen here for a reconciliation. And I do expect over the longer term constitutional changes. But what form that takes, it's hard to tell at this time.
What are the chances that Algeria would end up adopting the Egyptian model of military control?
It's already in that mode since 1962 and after the brief democratic opening from 89 to 91, since the Algerian coup of 92, which in many ways is comparable to the Egyptian coup of 2013. Now, we've had a sort of soft coup in the last couple of weeks with the army forcing out the president in order to protect the regime. And we've had, of course, a similar situation to this in 2013. The difference in Egypt was that the army took over everything. And at this point, the army in Algeria is still signaling that it would like constitutional regular order and at least superficial civilian leadership to be in control. But doesn't look good at this time, and I think the more violent things get, the more excuses the regime will have to crack down through things like states of emergency and other more draconian measures, and things could move in that Egyptian direction.
That was William Lawrence, professor of international relations at George Washington University. He spoke to VOA senior analyst Mohammed El-Shenawy. And that wraps up this edition of Africa News Tonight. I'm Yehi Suhib in Washington. For all the latest developments on the continent 24/7, visit our website at voaafrica.com. For listeners on VOA's Nairobi FM station, please stay tuned for the Swahili Evening News coming up at 16:30 UTC. For all other listeners, please stay tuned to the Sunny Side of Sports. Tune in again at 1800 UTC for another edition of Africa News Tonight. On behalf of our producer, Bill Workinger, and our engineer, Thomas Blondet, thanks for choosing The Voice of America.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, Ethiopian Prime Minister Abiy Ahmed has made headlines for pushing through unprecedented reforms. But many challenges lie ahead in creating a national consensus. Discussing Ethiopia's future on the next Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
Hello, Africa. This is James Butte, host of Voice of America's Daybreak Africa. Join me Monday through Friday at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC for the latest in African news, features, and sports. We are also available on the internet at www.voaafrica.com. That's Daybreak Africa, your breakfast show on the Voice of America.
Are you suffering from heartache? No problem. We've got the cure for you. The African beat can soothe your heartache with its awesome tunes from the African continent. So join me, David Vandy, Mondays through Fridays at 0900 and 2000 Universal Time for a healing journey. I guarantee it.
Hey, sports fans, brighten your day by tuning in to the Sunny Side of Sports, Monday through Friday at 16:30 and 18:30 UTC. Join us on Facebook at facebook.com/VOA Sunny and on Twitter at VOA Sunny Sports. Or check out the blog at blogs.voanews.com/Sunny. It's the Sunny Side of Sports right here on the Voice of America.
voaafrica.com.
On voaafrica.com, the news updates never stop. Our primary goal is to keep you informed.
voaafrica.com, your trusted source for news and information.